Hello and welcome to a special edition of Inside Politics. I'm John King in Washington. Thank you for sharing your holiday with us. Democrats go public with complaints about the White House and what one calls an embarrassing transparency stumble. This, as we learn more about the classified documents discovered in President Biden's Delaware home. Plus, he's a bad guy. Republicans more and more call out George Santos for his lies, but many stop short of saying he should absolutely be booted from the Congress. And mangled lives. Frenzied first responders pulling people out of the wreckage in Dnipro. After Russian sets the Ukrainian sky on fire, its latest missile barrage killing at least 40. In just moments, the President of the United States marks this important holiday with a speech reflecting on the work and the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. We will bring you those remarks live when they happen. This event comes as the President confronts a crisis of his own making. The weekend brought another revelation about classified documents uncovered in Joe Biden's Delaware home. The disclosure adds yet another instance of government secrets found where they should not have been. A special counsel is now investigating whether laws were broken here. And that's a new source of anxiety inside the West Wing. That we are constantly learning more details is the source of frustration among the president's fellow Democrats. More and more of them now say the special counsel review is necessary. And more of them say Mr. Biden was sloppy at a minimum here. And the result is a gift to Republicans.
Well, it's certainly embarrassing, right? I mean, it's embarrassing that you would find a small number of documents, certainly not on purpose. What I'm most concerned about, and this is the kind of thing that the Republicans love. We just heard it from my colleague, Senator Johnson. Let's talk about investigations. Let's create chaos. Let's not talk about the fact that we have a manufacturing renaissance going on in this country, more jobs created, lower unemployment rate, higher wages, and what they're proposing to do that would interfere with that, would really put us on the edge economically.
Again, we expect to hear from the president any moment. We'll take you there live when it happens. In the meantime, let's continue this conversation with me in studio to share their reporting and their insights. CNN's Jeff Zeleny, Francesca Chambers of USA Today, CNN's Evan Perez, and our CNN legal and national security analyst, Kerry Cordero. Evan, where are we in terms, let's just start, the new special counsel just named. Where are we, and is there any sense of how long this will take? Will it be a narrow? How did these documents get there? How were they recovered? Who knew where they were? What's the chain of custody? Or will it expand?
I think the Justice Department believed initially that this would be a narrow investigation by Rob Hur and whoever he brings in. We know he's trying to bring in at least a couple of people. There are people from the National Security Division of the Justice Department who are going to help do this investigation. But, John, what you're asking is what else is there, right? What might happen here? And certainly I think the shifting stories that we've heard from the White House, the explanations that they've given raise a lot more questions. And one of the first things that Rob Hur is going to have to confront is, you know, how do we make sure that there are not additional documents? There are other homes and offices that the president used when he was a former vice president that will likely have to be searched. Who does those searches? Is it the president's legal team? Over the weekend, we heard a statement that really raised additional questions because you had Dick Sauber, the special counsel inside the White House counsel's office, who is a government employee, describes that, you know, that he went to the president's personal home to try to hand over documents because he had a security clearance. That seemed to add a new set of questions because now he's a witness, right, who will have to talk to the special counsel.
And so I want to come back to the substance of the investigation because that's the most important thing. Exactly how did this happen? What's the chain of custody of the documents? Yeah. Who might have had access to the documents? Those are the things the investigators. But you hear Democrats who initially said this is Joe Biden, not nefarious. Some said classified documents, we have to be careful here. But Democrats increasingly, because of what Evan says, a drip today, a drip the next day. This is Adam Schiff saying, let's be careful, but yes, this needs to be scrubbed.
Is it possible that national security was jeopardized here, as many, including you, raised that possibility with the Mar-a-Lago documents?
I don't think we can exclude the possibility without knowing more of the facts. We have asked for an assessment in the intelligence community of the Mar-a-Lago documents. I think we ought to get that same assessment of the documents found in the think tank as well as the home of President Biden.
Does the Biden White House see this as more political peril, too? Not just the legal investigative questions, but the politics?
Well, I think you can see that in the fact that they are no longer, they say, going to be taking questions on this. Or rather, we can ask, but they may not answer them. They're going to be deferring to the special counsel, and they may have to take questions from Congress on it. And you heard Schiff go on to say that he thinks that they should cooperate with those investigations. And President Biden last week said that he hopes to speak on this more, God willing, soon. It wasn't clear what he meant by that, if he plans to speak out about this. But certainly reporters continue to have questions about some of the things you were asking as well.
So let's walk through some of the timeline, because it's important. It was on November 2nd. This is before last year's election. Biden attorneys discover some docs at a think tank office. He was affiliated with a university and had a private office there during the Trump presidency. On November 4th, 2 days later, the National Archives notifies the Department of Justice. On November 9th, the Department of Justice launches an investigation. On December 20th, more than a month later, Biden attorneys search his Wilmington home, find additional documents. Then the initial findings submitted. A U.S. attorney looked at this and submitted findings to the attorney general. Biden attorneys on January 11th search his Delaware home, find more documents there. And on January 12th, the special counsel named, not on there, Carrie. We were talking about this before the program. On November 18th, the attorney general announced the special counsel to look into Donald Trump, who was then a declared candidate for president. So the Justice Department said, you know what, we just to be safe here, we're going to hand this over to a special counsel. November 18th, the National Archives notified the Department of Justice about the Biden issue on November 4th. The Department of Justice launched its investigation, handed it over to the Chicago U.S. attorney on November 9th. So 9 days after that, the attorney general announced a special counsel for Donald Trump and said nothing about this. Does Merrick Garland have questions to answer, too?
Well, I do think it's an interesting question as to the fact that he made that announcement of the special counsel in the former President Trump's case. The catalyst for that, he said at the time, was because President Trump had announced that he was going to be running for president. At the same time, President Biden is the presumptive nominee. So I think there is an argument that the attorney general, when he was making this significant announcement about a special counsel for the former president, I think there's an argument in retrospect that perhaps he should have acknowledged that this other issue was going on with respect to the current president, too. It's debatable. I mean, the timeline was moving. He was referring it for investigation. But the fact that he knew about it and did not communicate that in any way, or there was no coordinated messaging between the Justice Department and the White House, I think is notable.
So now you have the president, the current president, and his predecessor, the former president, both having these special counsel investigations. And this is Rod Rosenstein. We all remember him. He was the deputy attorney general in the Trump administration. Trump was not a fan because he was the point man in the Mueller investigation. Rod Rosenstein here posing a question to Joe Biden, which essentially is the same question for Donald Trump.
The key fact with regard to the Biden documents, of course, is what did the president know about those documents? Was he aware that they'd been moved? Did he, in any case, you know, in the past 5 years, has he handled those documents? Was he aware of them? We just don't know that yet.
The president, the public comments he has made, says he didn't know they were there. But where are they in the process of, you know, obviously the special counsel comes first. And to Francesca's point, they say they'll be limited in what they can say to the media until then. Where are they in actually making sure, okay, we're done. Now we know the actual facts, as opposed to we found documents, we searched again, we found more, we searched again, we found more.
It's an open question. I mean, every time we think that they found all the documents, a couple days later we learned something more. We learned something more on Saturday again. So I'm not sure anyone can say with any degree of confidence that they have found all of them. The president, we are told, is furious about this. He's furious at how some of his advisors have handled this. We don't know. Going back to those final days of his vice presidency, it was very chaotic. He was traveling a lot. He went to Ukraine. He went to Davos. His aides were trying to pack things up. But the here and now of how his team has handled this, he's been around a small set of advisors were around him at the time of his vice presidency and now. And how they have handled this has sort of reeked of arrogance in some respect, saying that, you know, they were trying to downplay this a week ago. Now they're not, because they're simply not sure what else is out there. But he is not happy about this. But interestingly, he goes to his Wilmington home virtually every weekend, if not 3 weekends out of a month. We have no idea if he looked at these documents. Probably not. But there are so many questions about this just simply because how they handled this at the DOJ and
House Republicans now say they want visitor logs of the Wilmington home, and the White House says there are none.
There are none.
When the president was out of office, he didn't have such a thing. But when you hear Rod Rosenstein, is that the only legal question? Is this just about Biden, or are there other legal questions for others who, you know, may have facilitated in the movement and the like?
Yes, a quick counterpoint to the Rod Rosenstein comments, because in this investigation, as well as the one involving former President Trump, these investigations are not just about Biden and Trump. They are also, from the Justice Department perspective, from the investigative perspective, about all the other people, potential staff members, current or former, who handled those documents. Who moved those documents? Who physically was responsible for moving them? And who had access to them once they were in these secure, unsecured locations, right, is an important part of the investigation. It's not just about the current president and the former president.
Right. So you mean people who should have been smart enough to raise their hands and say, this is not my lane. I am not qualified. Or are we sure? Do we have clearance to do this?
People like that. The people who were responsible for actually moving the documents. I mean, there were individuals, whether they were staff members in either case, who were responsible for physically moving. I don't believe that the former president or the current president were the people who were actually physically moving boxes and making decisions. Maybe they were. And maybe that is where the investigation will go. But this is also about staff people, and there is a much wider range of individuals who have potential criminal exposure in either matter that is not just about those principles.
Right, which is where, you know, some big questions that are going to confront the new special counsel. You know, do you send in the FBI to do a search of the sitting president's homes and different places, right? Do you do that? And you know what that's going to look like. And also, you know, for the president, I think, you know, he's kind of built this image. And even right after Trump was the search of Mar-a-Lago, the president went out there and said publicly that he had this very detailed procedure of handling documents. He said, you know, documents were handed to me. I read them. I handed them back to the aide and they locked them away. None of that appears to be true. It appears that he was just a mess, you know, in handling these documents. Maybe not nearly as bad as Trump. I don't know. We don't know. But, I mean, that's part of the issue here is that, you know, the things that they've said about how this was done appears to not really be the way they describe.
And to the broader point, and this was something that Mike Morrell touched on yesterday, what is the process moving forward? This has now happened to two past presidents. What are they going to do to make sure that other presidents maybe don't have to classify documents and to make sure that these aren't leaving the White House in the future? What does that process look like? And is there a role for Congress in that also?
Well, you say role for Congress. I mean, and so it's an interesting question now in the sense that, you know, the Republicans did not control the House when we learned this about Donald Trump, but they said little or nothing or just tried to turn away, like most things about Trump, just walk away and try to dodge the questions. Now, this is the chairman of the new House Oversight and Accountability. He says, Joe Biden, lots of questions. We want answers.
Do you only care about classified documents being mishandled when Democrats do the mishandling?
Absolutely not. My biggest concern isn't the classified documents, to be honest with you. My concern is how there's such a discrepancy in how former President Trump was treated by raiding Mar-a-Lago, by getting the security cameras, by taking pictures of documents on the floor, by going through Melania's closet, versus Joe Biden. They're like, okay, you're personal lawyers who don't have security clearance. Yeah, they can go through.
The last part there is a legitimate concern about the president's personal lawyers. Go back, you mentioned that. You know, did the Biden people have a secure process of going through the search? But the first part of it just distorts the facts in the sense that there were months and months and months where the Justice Department was asking for the documents back.
Right.
They wanted to clear. But it gives you a window into the Republican. They just want to make this about what they view as weaponization of the government against them and favorable treatment for Biden. They want to make this all about the politics. Because they don't want to have hearings. Why not? Well, how about a bipartisan committee that looks at the Trump issue, the Biden issue, and the bigger issue maybe of why are we not doing a better job securing classified documents?
For sure. And at the end of the day, the House Republican majority may end up being the White House's friend here if they overreach on this. I mean, they are very different in terms of the obstruction. We don't believe that there is any obstruction in the Biden case here. But it simply has taken away the moral high ground of this presidency and the White House that they sort of claim that they had in this case. So that's why it is messy for them.
And one reason why we have those pictures that he's referring to, why we know so much about the Trump search, is because Trump went to court, found a judge, to try to slow down the investigation and made this a litigation issue that then the Justice Department was forced to publish and to say, here's the search warrant, here's what it looked like. He started saying things about the FBI being thugs and so on. So all of those things is why the Justice Department was forced to show his hand when it normally doesn't.
Right. You're bringing facts and context into the political conversation. Right. It's necessary. I don't say it as a joke. This is where we're going. This is where it's going. And so here we are. Here we are in January, and I'm told I need to end the conversation. This is the President of the United States speaking at the National Action Network meeting here in Washington, D.C. You see in there with the Reverend Al Sharpton. This, of course, the Martin Luther King Jr. federal holiday. Let's listen to the President.
Rev, not sure this is on. This is on. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, no ho. Okay. Rev, thank you very much. That introduction. So God bless you all. God bless the King family. And ladies and gentlemen, may God protect our troops. Thank you so very much.
President of the United States speaking a little more than 30 minutes. You see the sign, the National Action Network. That is a civil rights organization, political organization led by the Reverend Al Sharpton. The president speaking on this, the Martin Luther King Jr. federal holiday, highlighting his record over the first 2 years of his administration, saying whether it's COVID policy, economic policy, infrastructure policy, judicial appointments, he has done just about everything he has done, the president said, with an eye on reaching out to black Americans and to disadvantaged communities around the country. The president said he was willing to work with any Republican who wanted to help him create jobs or make life better for the American families, but he worked a little politics into this at one point, talking about his right-wing opponents, and another point saying House Republicans were, quote, fiscally demented in some of their policies. You see the president shaking hands here. It is the MLK holiday. This is also a critical constituency for the president of the United States, as yes, he gears up. It's early 2023, but the president, by all indications, will be running again in 2024. And the black community, obviously, key to his win in 2020 and key to his future prospects, should he run. You see the president glad handing here at this event. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. At least 46 people still missing in the Ukrainian city of Dnipro. That's where a Russian missile hit an apartment building this weekend. It's one of the deadliest single attacks of Russia's war on Ukraine. CNN closely tracking the impact of this latest attack. In fact, CNN's Fred Pleitgen right there in Dnipro.
Hi there, John. Well, look, officially, this is still a search and rescue operation that's going on here. However, the Ukrainian authorities, they do acknowledge that as the time goes on, it is becoming increasingly unlikely that they are going to be able to find anybody under this debris who might still be alive. The Ukrainian president says that they are going to continue to search, but certainly with as cold as it is and the time passing, they also say that hope is fading very quickly. The Ukrainians say that one of the reasons why the destruction here has been so extensive, why this building was essentially annihilated, is the Russians used a very powerful cruise missile to hit it. It's called a KH-22 and was designed to take out aircraft carrier strike groups. It's got a 2,000-pound warhead and is obviously a very dangerous weapon. Now, the Kremlin has come out and they've denied that they were behind all this. They say they don't target residential and civilian areas. They say they believe that it was a stray Ukrainian air defense rocket that hit this building. The Ukrainians not having any of that, by the way. They say that they tracked this rocket, this missile, all the way from the Sea of Azov to right here where it hit. The Ukrainians say that at this point in time, they do not have air defense weapons capable of taking a cruise missile like that down, which is why they're calling for more capabilities from the U.S. and from partner nations. Of course, we know that the Ukrainians are already training on the Patriot air defense missile system, which they hope could give them a chance to take down something like this before it strikes a building like the one you see behind me in the future, John.
Topping our political radar today, an American-Iranian held in Iran has begun a seven-day hunger strike, hoping to draw President Biden's attention to his plight and the plight of other Americans held captive there. Siamak Namazi also wrote to the president, asking Mr. Biden to spend 1 minute a day for a week thinking about the prisoners. Namazi was arrested back in 2015 on espionage charges the United States says are baseless. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he'll push to confirm President Biden's pick to lead the Federal Aviation Administration. That after an FAA computer system failure delayed more than 10,000 flights last week. The position has been vacant since last March. Biden's nominee, however, Phil Washington, yet to receive a hearing. Questions have been raised by lawmakers in both parties about his qualifications, and he was named on a search warrant in a political corruption probe last year. The New York City Mayor, Eric Adams, asking for help with the influx of migrants coming into the country. Adams making a visit to the border in El Paso, Texas this weekend, where he called for a response from the federal government.
I'm going to extend my hand to the mayors across this country to say together we did not create this problem, but together we will find solutions. But those solutions must be implemented by the federal government.
This week opens with California facing even more rainfall after another disastrous weekend. The latest, perhaps last onslaught for a while, we hope, hitting the state today as weather experts warn oversaturated ground could trigger more flooding and more landslides. It was this moment, caught on camera in Pescadero, California. The road so saturated, part of a road simply fell off. Meanwhile, winter storm warnings posted for the Sierra Nevada mountains over the weekend. And then there was this rescue. Crews saving a driver in La Jolla Saturday evening. President Biden has approved a major disaster declaration for the state of California. Appreciate your time today on Inside Politics. Erica Hill picks up our coverage after a quick break.
Now streaming exclusively on Max, a new CNN flash doc about the album that has Nashville talking, Call Me Country, Beyonce and Nashville's Renaissance. Watch it at max.com/callmecountry. Max subscription required.